The liberal mainstream media could screw up a free lunch. Blinded by their hatred of Donald Trump, they prophesized a Joe Biden tsunami on Election Day. They were wrong, of course, but like Cinderella, wishing is believing. Their adamant prediction of a blue wave landslide for the Democratic nominee made a mockery of themselves and their profession. No one should trust the liberal-dominated media anymore. They are a cesspool of bias and hypocrisy. It contaminates everything they do. They have consistently proven to be unreliable purveyors of news and information. Objectivity and fairness, well, those are quaint artifacts. This is why Americans should be skeptical of the media's pronouncement that Joe Biden has won the presidency. Journalists don't pick presidents. Voters do. And until all legal challenges are resolved and the vote tallies are certified in all 50 states, we won't truly know who won the White House.
Attorney, Fox News legal analyst, and two-time New York Times best-selling author. This is The Brief with Greg Jarrett.
Hello, everyone. I'm Greg Jarrett, and welcome to The Brief. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow and how it's literally changed my life. I met Mike Lindell. He fit me for my very own MyPillow, and I haven't stopped raving about it since then. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. Made in the USA. If you don't have a MyPillow or know somebody who doesn't, now is the time, because there's a limited time that Mike is offering his premium MyPillows. Yes, the one that started it all, for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow regularly $69.98, for only $29.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Folks, now is the time to buy. Not only are you getting the lowest price ever, but they're the best Christmas gifts ever. $29.98 for a queen-size premium MyPillow. Buy now, and Mike will extend his 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener's Square. There you'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all of the MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or call 800-605-8765 and use promo code Greg, G-R-E-G-G. Now back to The Brief. It may very well come to pass that in January, Joe Biden will take the oath of office as the 46th president of the United States. And if so, congratulations are in order. But the media's coronation of Biden is, for now, premature. Not all votes cast lawfully have been fully and correctly counted. Not all votes that may have been cast unlawfully have been properly discounted. In a contest where the margin between the two candidates is razor thin in several key battleground states, there are serious and legitimate questions that must be addressed and settled before either man can claim the mantle of the presidency. But the media doesn't seem to care about that. To them, ensuring the legality and fairness of an election, well, it's a minor nuisance. In their rush to anoint Joe Biden their chosen candidate, they have minimized or dismissed issues of election interference or wrongfully cast ballots as nothing more than the rantings of the demon Donald Trump. That's how CNN's Anderson Cooper treated it.
That is the president of the United States. That is the most powerful person in the world. And we see him like an obese turtle on his back, flailing in the hot sun, realizing his time is over. But he just hasn't accepted it, and he wants to take everybody down with him, including this country.
Only when Cooper was universally denounced for his ridiculous comment did he sheepishly say he regretted it. But he didn't really regret it, because He's done it many times before. He's called the president, quote, just a little man despite his girth and size. Cooper loves to insult Trump's physical appearance, calling him orange. There's a long list of Anderson Cooper taunts and insults. When Donald Trump raised questions about voter fraud and improper vote counting at a news conference, NBC, ABC, CBS, and MSNBC all interrupted their coverage to accuse Trump of lying.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win. If you count the illegal votes, they can try to steal the election from us.
We have to interrupt here because the president has made a number of false statements.
Here we are again in the unusual position of not only interrupting the president of the United States, but correcting the president of the United States. There are no illegal votes that we know of.
What a sad night for the United States of America to hear their president say that, to falsely accuse people of trying to steal the election, to try to attack democracy that way with this feast of falsehoods.
These network anchors have no idea whether the Trump campaign or the Republican Party have evidence of improper vote counting. They reflexively treat everything Donald Trump says as a lie, as Molly Hemingway of The Federalist pointed out on Fox News.
Well, the media clearly are doing everything in their power to help their candidate, who is Joe Biden, be able to claim that he won this election. And they're doing that in part by how they make calls about different states. So even though Pennsylvania has like 100,000 provisional ballots outstanding and a bunch of mail-in ballots outstanding, far more outstanding ballots than there are in North Carolina, the media are not calling North Carolina, because that's a state Trump is ahead in, but they do call Pennsylvania even before the counting is done. The thing is that the media used to have a position of trust where they could say, this is going to happen, and people would generally trust it. The media, because of how they've behaved for the last 4 years, where every single thing they've done, more or less, has been done to hurt Donald Trump and his supporters, to lie about Donald Trump and his supporters, to create false narratives about who's going to win an election or whether there's Russia collusion or whether Brett Kavanaugh is a serial gang rapist. Pretty much everything that 71 million Trump supporters have seen for the last 4 years has been fraudulent, false, or corrupt. So even though the media would like to be able to say that if they say someone has won the election, that it's over, that doesn't actually mean the votes are no longer being counted or that there aren't legitimate legal challenges or that this is over. So that's just the problem that the media have, and they've made that decision to lose all credibility through their own behavior.
Given how the mainstream media has mistreated President Trump for 4 long years, and given how many stories they got wrong, remember the Russia hoax? Why would anyone trust the mainstream media to call the election for Joe Biden before all of the votes are calculated? Any evidence of fraud is rebutted, challenges exhausted, and the results certified by the state, especially in a race so incredibly close.
When it comes to the media and conservative voters and their politicians, the media lie, they lie, they lie, and then they lie. They were shocked by what happened because they spent the last 4 years lying about the success of the Donald Trump administration. They thought they had done enough to cover up all of the corruption of the Biden of a potential Biden administration through how they covered that campaign. They created false narratives such as the Russia collusion hoax, Anonymous, the Kavanaugh situation, the Covington kid, and they lied through intentionally false polling, which said that this was going to be a blowout for Democrats, that Democrats were going to take the Senate, that they were going to have gains in the House, and that Joe Biden would win easily in a landslide. The voters had a say, and that's not what happened. Donald Trump gained votes, unlike Barack Obama when he ran for re-election and lost 4 million votes. Donald Trump gained 7 million votes. The House, which the Fox News Decision Desk predicted would gained 5 Democratic seats, actually gained Republican seats, quite a few of them. The Senate is not at this point, unless you can have similar things that are happening in other states happen in Georgia and Pennsylvania, go to Democrats. And you had more minority voters supporting Donald Trump than any Republican in history. And so all of these things that the media said about Donald Trump were not true. And so, yes, they were surprised when the voters had a say.
The media has declared Joe Biden the winner. They knew that by doing so precipitously, his supporters would instantly take to the streets to celebrate, as if no other result could now be possible. The media also knew that Biden would then deliver a victory speech that networks would cover as if his elevation to the Oval Office was a fait accompli.
Folks, the people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory.
Wait, a clear victory? A convincing victory? In what universe does an ultra-narrow vote count, a paper-thin margin, constitute a clear and convincing victory? The votes have not even been canvassed. The legal challenges have not been investigated or heard. No state has certified their results. In some states, the counting still goes on, not to mention the inevitable recounts, where the difference is a tiny fraction of the voting populace. But none of this seems to matter one whit to the mainstream media. The candidate they endorse, protected, and campaign for is the supposed victor because, well, they say so. How dare anyone claim otherwise or to reserve final judgment? How dare anyone, especially Trump or Republicans, have the audacity to question the media's total knowledge and ultimate wisdom? If you do, that same media will come after you with a vengeance, and so will Democrats. You think I'm kidding? Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is urging her supporters to create an enemies list of online postings by anyone who supported Donald Trump. Here's what she tweeted, quote, "Is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future?" You get the point here. If you ever had the courage to post anything remotely supportive of Donald Trump, you will be placed on a political hit list destined for distribution and punishment. Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post, a faux conservative, also pledged revenge, writing that Trump supporters, quote, "should never serve in office, join a corporate board, find a faculty position, or be accepted into polite society. We have a list." Again, sounds like a hit list. Isn't that what communist dictators and murderous fascists have done? It looks like AOC and Rubin are taking a page out of a Joseph Stalin playbook, ready the gulags. And a former staffer for Barack Obama, Michael Simon, shared a link to a newly created website called the Trump Accountability Project. That site vows to target for retribution the president's supporters or anyone who ever worked for Donald Trump. Now, that's a long list, since more than 70 million Americans voted for Trump. But vengeance will be theirs. On ABC's chronically obtuse gabfest called The View, co-host Sonny Hostin called those 70 million Trump voters, quote, "selfish, despicable, and un-American." She accused them of backing a racist and homophobic candidate. In other words, those voters, 70 million of them, must be racist and homophobic, too. Off with their heads. Not to be outdone, MSNBC contributor Malcolm Nance called those same Trump voters racists and tribalists. Nance, who was black, didn't seem to realize that Trump actually expanded his support among African-American voters in the recent election, according to exit polls. So was Nance accusing those black voters of being racist, too? To that question, he seemed flummoxed and stammered a non-answer, as only Malcolm Nance can do. Not only has the mainstream media appointed themselves as the racial conscience of America, they've designated themselves the sole determinant of who is president. The legality of the votes be damned. But that's not how democracy works in a constitutional republic. The presidency is chosen by electors from all 50 states, not news organizations riven with bias or pollsters with deeply flawed calculations who were so far off the mark they should turn in their pollster badges in shame. The electors are appointed based on voting tallies in the respective states. Hence, the counting of ballots, determines who will occupy the White House for the next 4 years, not the mainstream media. Here are Senators Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham on Fox News.
At this point, we do not know who has prevailed in the election. The media is desperately trying to get everyone to coronate Joe Biden as the next president. But that's not how it works. The media does not get to select our president. The American people get to elect our president. And at this point, we've got numerous states that are very closely and vigorously contested, from Pennsylvania to Georgia to Arizona to New Mexico to Michigan to Wisconsin. In all of those states, there are serious disputes about the vote totals. And there's a legal process to resolve those disputes. So at this point, we should allow the rule of law to operate. We should allow the legal process to move forward. And when that process is concluded, which it will be in a matter of weeks, we will know who prevailed in the elections. But the fact that the big newsrooms in New York City want Donald Trump to lose, they don't get to decide that. That's a question for the voters.
Well, number one, this is a contested election. The media doesn't decide who becomes president. If they did, you would never have a Republican president forever. So we're discounting them. So what happened? The Trump team has canvassed all early voters and absentee mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania, and they found over 100 people they think were dead, but 15 people that we verified to have been dead who voted. But here's the one that gets me. 6 people registered after they died and voted. In Pennsylvania, I guess you're never out of it. If Republicans don't challenge and change the U.S. election system, there'll never be another Republican president elected again. President Trump should not concede. We're down to less of 10,000 votes in Georgia. He's going to win North Carolina. We've gone from 93,000 votes to less than 20,000 votes in Arizona, or more votes to be counted. There are allegations of system failure, fraud. John James, do not concede. These computers in Michigan do not pass the smell test. Keep fighting for every legal and live vote.
Every legal and live vote. Democrats in Joe Biden's campaign persistently argue that every vote be counted. And that sounds really good, except it's not quite correct. In a nation founded on the rule of law, only votes lawfully cast and correctly counted are legal and valid. As Senator Graham explained, there are deep concerns that the rule of law has not been strictly followed. For example, there is evidence in the form of a sworn affidavit from a postal worker that late ballots were backdated to help Joe Biden. There's eyewitness testimony about falsified ballots. Other sworn affidavits present troubling allegations of widespread irregularities, even potential fraud. Dead people were allegedly voting. Ballots with signatures that don't quite match were never authenticated, but they were counted. People who moved out of a state were allegedly voting in their former state. Statistical anomalies in some cities were so extreme as to be next to impossible. In Michigan, faulty election software incorrectly gave Joe Biden thousands of votes that were actually cast for Donald Trump. The mistake was caught, but that same software was used in 28 states, including Georgia, where the software was blamed for several voting problems there. So, was there voting fraud? Systemic failures resulting in changed votes? Were they sufficiently pervasive to alter the outcome? The answer is we just don't know at this point until the evidence is fully gathered and examined. And that obviously takes some time. But isn't a presidential election important enough to take the time to ensure that it's done fairly and properly? The question answers itself. Now, the constant refrain in the media is, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Those are two very different things, which the media conflates out of sheer ignorance. The evidence is the information already obtained in the form of eyewitnesses and affidavits, period. More will surely come to light. Proof, however, is whether the evidence is sufficiently persuasive or compelling to meet the legal standard demanded in a court of law. And we are not there yet, because it hasn't been litigated. But again, the media doesn't know that because, frankly, they don't know that much, and they're anxious to anoint their Trump slayer, Joe Biden. The demands by Democrats and their partners in the media that the president concede are not only hasty, but they're legally unfounded and inappropriate. This is especially true where there is some preliminary evidence that the electoral process in pivotal states may have been flawed, if not corrupted. It is worth investigating, regardless of whether this might delay any confirmation of the results by days or weeks. It's better to be right than fast. Thus, President Trump has every right to challenge the results. But the media won't tell you that. They did tell you that 20 years ago when Al Gore challenged the results in Florida. They applauded Gore for exercising his legal rights. And it took more than a month to resolve the complicated litigation that culminated in a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court that effectively gave the presidency to George W. Bush. More recently, the media hailed Stacey Abrams as a hero for challenging the election results in the Georgia gubernatorial contest. Yet that same media now denounces Trump for doing the exact same thing in the presidential election. In the contorted, twisted world of the hopelessly biased media, it's perfectly okay for a Democrat to do it, just not a Republican. By the way, Abrams never did concede the 2018 race for governor, which naturally made her a liberal media darling extraordinaire. She still insists she won, even though her opponent was sworn in as governor after the votes were checked and verified and certified. Kind of reminds you of Hillary Clinton. She still thinks she's president somewhere. There is more than sufficient evidence at this early stage to demand a more thorough investigation in several states. Trump's legal team has filed lawsuits asking the courts to intervene to ensure the election's integrity. Sidney Powell, a former federal prosecutor, is part of that legal team.
Yes, there has been a massive and coordinated effort to steal this election from we, the people of the United States of America, to delegitimize and destroy votes for Donald Trump, to manufacture votes for Joe Biden. They have done it in every way imaginable, from having dead people vote in massive numbers to absolutely fraudulently creating ballots that exist only voting for Biden. We've identified at least 450,000 ballots in the key states that miraculously only have a mark for Joe Biden on them and no other candidate. If you look at Florida, where things were done right, you can see that that's how the rest of the country should have gone. But they also used an algorithm to calculate the votes they would need to flip, and they used the computers to flip those votes from Trump to Biden and from other Republican candidates to their competitors also. I think Doug Collins had the race stolen from him. I think John James had his race stolen from him. It wasn't just President Trump. There were many people affected by this.
One of the deeply troubling aspects of the vote counting is that in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania, Republican poll watchers were not allowed to watch. Some were harassed or evicted. In its lawsuits, the Trump campaign is requesting that poll observers be permitted what's called meaningful access to the counting process. Since the law requires this, the argument is sound. Yet, in defiance of that law, monitors were sequestered anywhere from 20 feet to 30 feet, and in some instances, even more, from those individuals who are actually counting the ballots. With such a restriction, they may as well be standing a mile away. From a distance, it's not possible to witness what is on the ballot, how a vote was marked or tabulated, whether it's properly signed or has a valid postmark. That's not meaningful access. It's meaningless. A poll watcher must be able to actually watch how a ballot is being handled and computed in order to guard against suppression or chicanery. Voting mistakes can't be identified from a distance where visibility is diminished. It's both wrong and illegal. The law demands transparency, and the Trump campaign has every right to sue states that refuse to comply with the law. If Americans are to have confidence in the honesty of our voting system, they must be open to scrutiny. If we're to trust the outcome of any given election, there must be a vigorous check on the process to ensure its integrity. Votes not lawfully cast should not be counted. Votes cast lawfully should all be counted correctly. And the only way to prevent ballot interference is to watch the process unfold. Another significant legal challenge involves the inclusion of late ballots. In Pennsylvania, for example, Republicans sued to enforce the law passed by the state legislature. That law is abundantly clear. All ballots must be received by the election boards by 8 p.m. on the day of the election, November 3rd. Ballots received after that time and day are not to be counted. Georgia has a nearly identical law. Yet it appears that tens of thousands of late ballots were in fact counted, most of them for Joe Biden. In advance of the election, and contrary to the plain language of that law I just cited, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, elected Democrats, mind you, decided all on their own that ballots received days later could be counted, as long as there was a postmark on or before Election Day. But by judicial fiat, they ruled that a missing or indecipherable postmark envelope is presumptively timely, which is absurd. A signature that does not match is automatically accepted. This is a recipe for voter fraud. What these judges did is anathema to the Constitution and a violation of the separation of powers. Without authority, the justices on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court effectively tore up the law passed by the legislature and created a brand new law that conforms to their own political desires and arguably supports Joe Biden. It was a decision that reeks of partisanship. The legislature had considered and rejected the idea of allowing late ballots to be counted. It's well to remember that judges are not lawmakers. They're not super legislators. It is neither their duty nor their right to nullify an existing law and invent a new one out of thin air to replace it. Yet this is precisely what these justices did. They unconstitutionally usurped the power of the Pennsylvania legislature. What is confounding is that the U.S. Supreme Court could have put a stop to this lawless action before the election took place. Republicans filed a petition to challenge the extra-legal judicial ruling not once, but twice. Thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts, who sided with the liberal justices, the High Court refused to issue a stay and later declined to take up the case on the merits. This left the wrongful Pennsylvania decision in place. Had Roberts and the Supreme Court done their jobs, the rules over which ballots can and cannot be counted in Pennsylvania and Georgia would have been clearly delineated in advance of the presidential election, avoiding the inexorable post-contest litigation and the acrimony that follows. At the behest of Justice Samuel Alito, the High Court urged Pennsylvania to segregate the tardy ballots. Did state election officials do that? Well, some said they did, but there's no way to be sure. It's altogether possible, indeed likely, that many of those ballots were commingled, making it exceedingly difficult after the fact to separate unlawful ballots from lawful ones. Only after the election did Justice Alito issue a clear order to place all late ballots in sealed and secured containers to be counted separately. But it may have come too late. Importantly, the case is still pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. The Trump campaign filed a motion to intervene with the goal of resurrecting the dispute before the high court. Will the Supremes act expeditiously to rectify their own failure? Don't count on it. John Roberts has a long and distinguished track record of protecting the legacy of the court by dodging politically incendiary cases. A presidential election is radioactive to Roberts. He seems to care less about the integrity of the democratic process and more about burnishing his reputational leadership as Chief Justice. Roberts hopes that it will all somehow magically go away. Predictably, Democrats are asking the Supreme Court to continue their stall. They know that, with the new addition of Justice Amy Coney Barrett, a majority on the court would summarily strike down the Pennsylvania decision. It's an easy call, a no-brainer. But at this point, it remains to be seen whether that same majority will now override the wishes of John Roberts by voting to grant an expedited review of the case.
On Election Day, Donald Trump won a large majority of the votes counted on Election Day. That was true throughout the country. With mail-in votes that were early votes, Joe Biden won a significant majority of the mail-in votes that came in. Now, in several states, we're going to see a recount process. A recount process, you look at those votes, you determine if they're accurate, if they're fraudulent, if they have sufficient signatures, if they meet the statutory standards for a legal vote. What is interesting is historically, mail-in votes are much more likely to be disqualified in a recount than in-person votes. Generally, in-person votes, they're conducted at the polling place, and then they usually stand. That means what we're likely to see in the next few weeks as the recounts go forward is that Joe Biden's very, very narrow majorities in some of these states, those totals are likely to drop if we see mail-in votes when they're examined being invalidated as contrary to the law.
The mainstream media's power is considerable, to be sure. But the presidency is chosen by electors from all 50 states, not news organizations that have spent 4 years dedicating themselves to driving Donald Trump from office and for the last year advocating for and protecting Joe Biden. As I mentioned before, those electors are appointed based on voting tallies in the respective states. Hence, it is the actual and meticulous counting of ballots that determines who will occupy the White House for the next 4 years, not the media, which has squandered all credibility. Yet the celebrations in the streets will continue as journalists on television and in print refer to Joe Biden as president-elect, treating the result as a foregone conclusion simply because they say so. And that is exactly what the media intended when they called the race. They did it by design. In a headline, the New York Times announced, "The election is over." Well, the process of voting is over, but verifying the honest result, that is not over. One thing is for certain. If the roles were reversed and the state tallies narrowly showed Donald Trump in the lead in the key battleground states, the media would counsel patience. They'd refuse to call the race until all legal challenges were exhausted. They would praise Joe Biden for exercising his legal right to contest ballots or recount votes, with poll watchers in close proximity to ensure that the process is fair, reliable, and trustworthy. The ugly truth is, it's too late for the media to resurrect the trust they once had. That is the sober reality. They have shattered their credibility and utterly destroyed themselves. No one has faith in the mainstream media anymore, nor should they. One of the great ironies in all of this is that the same media that spent the last 4 years falsely vilifying Donald Trump as an illegitimate president who stole an election may now be saddled with the same sobriquet that haunts their chosen candidate, Joe Biden. Unless Trump's legal challenges are allowed to play out unimpeded by media pronouncements, 70 million Americans will be convinced that the electoral process is corrupt and that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. If so, it will severely diminish his effectiveness as president. But that hasn't deterred House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from conjuring up her delusions of grandeur. She's already announced that the presidential election gave Biden a, quote, tremendous mandate. That's both laughable and actually pathetic. A slender victory is hardly a tremendous mandate. It's the opposite. It's a weak mandate and a stern warning that Americans do not want the kind of radical progressive change envisioned by the most ardent liberals in her party. Moreover, Nancy Pelosi lost numerous seats in the House, which may trigger an insurrection against her own leadership. If anything, the vote was a mandate for moderation, as the Wall Street Journal pointed out. If it were otherwise, voters would have given greater control to Democrats in Congress. On the Senate side, Republicans will hold on to control of that chamber if they win either one or two of the Georgia Senate seats headed for a runoff in early January. The ever-clueless minority leader Chuck Schumer unwittingly handed the GOP a ready-made television commercial when he shouted this promise to the celebrants in New York City.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer? Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Change the world? With stars in his eyes, Schumer dreams of becoming majority leader to ram through the Bernie Sanders AOC socialist agenda of higher taxes, Medicare for all, the Green New Deal, open borders, packing the Supreme Court, ending the filibuster, and adding two additional states to guarantee Democrat supremacy from here on out. When you think about it, not much is at stake here, just the future of America as we know it. So isn't it reasonable, at the very least, to wait just a while to make sure that this election was both free and fair? Of course it is. It's too bad that the media doesn't understand that. Maybe they do, but they just don't care. For them, banishing Donald Trump, the man they despise, is their only obsession. And that's The Brief. I'm Greg Jarrett. Thanks for listening.